members with us from area congregations who weren't able to have this Sunday evening worship, and we're glad that you're able to be with us. We are starting a new series. I tried to, beginning last year, with our fourth Sunday night fellowship meal, try to do a year-long series that goes along with that. And last year we looked at some topic with the family every night, every fourth Sunday night. And this year, I want us to be thinking, at least for most of these lessons, we will be thinking about enemies of the heart. Now, let me mention one thing, that the basis and the idea of this, and much of my information, will be coming from a book called Enemies of the Heart by Andy Stanley. And that book is not very expensive. If you want to get a copy of it and read it, I'm sure you'll be blessed. And I'm reading the book and making some application and thoughts from it, as well as other sources to compose our lessons. Where did that come from? Have you ever had that experience where an emotion comes out? Maybe it's some words that are said. Maybe it's a burst of anger. Maybe it's a burst of joy. Maybe it's tears. Sometimes we can be overcome with tears. I remember, as preachers, sometimes you get a little bit desensitized to death, because we do deal with death quite a bit. And I remember one time we had several funerals in a row. And I remember one of those funerals was Doug England's, and he was like the third one that we had had as a church pretty close. And I remember after that funeral, after everybody had passed out, just sitting down and just some emotion coming over me. And that was very unusual. And I realized that what it was just all the successive nature of grief and emotion that just came out. Where'd that come from? Well, it comes from our heart, doesn't it? It's the same feeling that a young man gets when he goes on that first date with that young woman that he starts to really like. And well, where's that coming from? It's drawing me to her and her to him. Where'd that come from? Well, that comes from our heart. When we think about our physical hearts, we have concerns about them, and we want to make sure that we have checkups for our physical hearts, and we have various symptoms and things that we care about. I personally have a concern for my physical heart. I know you do too, but I have heart issues in my family. My dad's side of the family, all his sister and his brother and himself all have struggled with heart issues, and my granddad and grandmother on that side had heart issues, and my dad had a heart attack at 52 years of age, and so I have concern for my physical heart. I want to make sure I try to keep it in shape. But we're not thinking in this series about the enemies of our physical heart, which we might call like things like the food we might eat, or obesity, or smoking, or those type of stress could be enemies of our physical heart. We're thinking about our spiritual heart, our seat of emotions. This wonderful, confusing thing in our chest that we think of, that is where our love and laughter and tears and joy, where it all comes from. And so I want us to think about this evening. And as we think about this overall series, some enemies of that heart. First of all, I want to say that our hearts are out of rhythm. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. And in this early book, we read about our hearts. And in chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, God looks at man. And the Bible says in that passage, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intentions of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him." Notice, man's heart was evil, and it grieved the Lord in his heart. So the heart that we have, all the things that I talked about, love, joy, tears, and sorrow, and all the emotions that we feel, passion, all those things come from our God. And so the ability to feel love, to feel anger, to feel hatred, to feel greed and jealousy, now, those things are all going to be connected in with our heart and guilt. And our Lord, God, has emotions as well. Now, he doesn't have the sinful emotions, and he controls his emotions, but we see that his heart is grieved. We see that the Lord was angry at times. We see that the Lord was sometimes jealous in a righteous way. We see that the Lord loves. We see all these various emotions ascribed to God as well and to Jesus. But our hearts are out of rhythm. In fact, in chapter 9 or chapter 8, when Moses or Noah comes out of the ark and he's about to sacrifice and he's built this altar, the Lord says in verse number 21, he smelled the pleasing aroma from the sacrifice, and the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil. Folks, we're messed up. All of us have problems. All of us do wrong. And we have emotions in our heart that are not right many times, that want to creep into our lives. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 27, that God knows and searches our hearts. And so our hearts get out of rhythm because of life, because of the experiences of life. And we start saying things like, well, this is just the way I am. Or we get burned and we get hurt. Now, we're taught as kids to behave, right? And so we modify our behavior in order so that we're not in trouble. For example, when a kid gets in trouble for doing certain behavior, he gets a spanking, he gets in trouble. So he learns not to do that so he won't get the physical punishment. And so we end up lots of times, this can be us, this is the Pharisees, this is all of us as Christians, at times, we end up having the right behavior, but the wrong heart. We pretend. We know what the good behavior is. We know what the right thing to do is. And we do that, and that's good, and we need to understand that there's validity to that, and that's certainly what we should be doing. But what does the Bible teach us and what we're going to be studying about? And what Jesus, that's what the Old Testament was about, right? The right behavior. And what Jesus does in the New Testament is, this is what the Sermon on the Mount was about. What Jesus does is he says, I'm going deeper. I'm going not just to the behavior, but I'm going to the heart. So I want to modify your heart. You see, all of us struggle with our hearts being out of rhythm. If people really knew what was in our heart, we'd be ashamed, wouldn't we? We tend to believe that all is well, and we tend to think that as long as we're having the right behaviors, then our heart's good. And so we rarely give ourselves a heart checkup. And the greatest command is to do what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. We've got to love the Lord with all our heart. We're supposed to love God from our heart. And when it comes to the emotions that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, he doesn't just say don't murder, does he? He goes to the heart. He says don't be angry. He doesn't say just don't look down on your fellow man. He says don't call your fellow man a fool and have disregard for him. Don't have hatred in your heart. He says when your enemy hates you, they want to kill you, you love them. He goes to your heart. It says when you're thinking about adultery, don't just feel good that you haven't slept with that woman. You realize that you're doing wrong when you're lusting after her in your heart. See, we have hearts that are out of rhythm. And so the challenge is to give full access of our heart to Jesus. You see, when you think about it, all of us at our baptism gave our hearts to Jesus. But we struggle to give him all of it, don't we? Let me just illustrate. We understood that at baptism the Lord forgave us of all our sins, and we're thankful for that. But how easy is it for us to forgive others of their sins against us? See, that's a heart issue, isn't it? That's where it gets hard to let the Lord have full access. Lord, I want the cleansing this way, but I've got to be willing to cleanse and forgive from the heart this way. You see, that's the challenge, and that's what we're going to be talking about, is our heart issues. So we think about the root of the problem is really with our heart, because we often misunderstand behavior. We understand that Behavior isn't always a good indicator of our heart condition. We can fake it a long time. You've heard of, physically, you've heard of people, it's amazing when these things happen. And some people use them as excuses not to be in good health. But I had a preacher friend growing up who was an influencer on me who ran triathlons, was in great physical shape. He even did some Ironman triathlons. Died of a heart attack in his 50s. Pistol Pete Maravich, the famous basketball player who was known for his tremendous physical ability of running and how he could play so long and with such energy, died at a young age of a heart attack. He actually had some kind of congenital, I think, heart defect. Reggie White, famous football player, also, you know, tremendous athlete, died at a very early age of a heart attack. And then you see other people, not going to call any names here, but you see other people who do nothing to protect their heart. It's like they do anything they can to harm their heart. And sometimes they never have any heart problems. And they do well with their heart. So behavior isn't always a good indicator of our heart condition. So let's go to Matthew chapter 15 and read what Jesus says about it. Because the Pharisees were people who were good with behavior. The Pharisees had good intentions. They did. They didn't want to break the law, so they built a fence around the law so they wouldn't even come close to breaking the law. It's a good intention. The problem is, after that goes on for a few generations, people forget the heart. And so in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is dealing with this issue with the Pharisees, and he's dealing with them taking care of their mother and their daddy. It's pretty pathetic, but they were getting out of taking care of mom and dad by paying money to the temple. And Jesus is going to call them on this, and he says, beginning in verse number 3, "For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father and mother. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, the people honor me with their lips. They say the right thing, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me." They're saying the right thing. It's like in any relationship, if we're saying the right thing, but we're not doing it, if our heart's not there. You see, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person." See, the Pharisees were so focused on the outward rituals and all the rules, they were only focused on these rules of hygiene. And he says, "But what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" And he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch." And Peter said to them, "Explain the parable to us." So the apostles didn't get it either. Notice what Jesus says, verse 16. "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled?" Now that's biology 101 from Jesus. We won't get into the details of it. But he says what goes in is not that important in terms of our defilement, as the Pharisees were emphasizing defilement. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart, out of our center of emotions, out of our being, come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Thus Proverbs chapter 4 would say, keep your heart, protect your heart with all diligence or vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Jeremiah 17, listen to this. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately sick, who can understand it? Therefore, we see throughout Scripture that people act with the integrity of heart, or they act with an evil heart. They act with a good and honest heart, or they act with a sinful heart, or maybe a hard heart like Pharaoh. You see, the Bible places emphasis on our heart. And so we need to think more about our behavior. I have an illustration up there of a pear tree and us monitoring our hearts. If you were to buy a house and it had a nice, big, super healthy pear tree in the backyard, and you don't really care much about pears, you'll eat a few, but this pear tree was producing all kinds of pears, and your backyard wasn't very big, and it was causing a problem because pears were falling off at a pretty rapid rate during the summer when they were ripe. And they were rotting, they were stinking, bugs and worms and everything was coming. It was ruining your yard. Every time you'd mow, you'd throw pears all over the place. Kids couldn't play in the backyard. It was a mess. So you realize you've got to do something about the pears. And so you set a bucket out, and you just begin picking up the pears. And then you begin carting off the pears and trying to throw them away. How many years are you going to do that? How many years are you going to carry off the pears and always pick up the pears from falling off? Now what you should do is what? Go to the source and cut down the tree. Cut down the tree and take care of the problem. Now that's the way it often is with our heart problems. Think about it. A lot of us go for years with a heart problem that's manifesting itself in a behavior, and all we do is constantly pick them up, apologize, say we're going to change, deal with things like that. And we are always focused on the behavior, the pears that are falling, instead of the source. The Pharisees were only focused on the pears. Jesus said, you've got to go to the source. In the Sermon on the Mount, he goes to the source. The Pharisees were saying, you know, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. They were focused on, I don't murder, I don't commit adultery, I don't do these things. And Jesus says, but I'm going deeper. The righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. We've got to go to the source. And so the root of our problems is our heart. So we have to monitor our heart. And so we often have, and we need to consider, our heart damage. In Atlanta, there is something that I've never been through, but it's at a junction where two interstates come together, and you can see a picture of it here. It's really a marvelous work of modern engineering. And it's called Spaghetti Junction because of all it looks like spaghetti from the air. And all these interstates come together and go all these different ways. And one of the things about this is that this Spaghetti Junction is a hub for that area. And people have to go through, and it's so important for people going to all different areas of the city and that region. But oftentimes, people go into that Spaghetti Junction. If you go into it between 4 and 6, probably also in the morning, you may go in with a good attitude, but once you go through that Spaghetti Junction, especially if you don't get on the right turn, or you get stopped there for sitting in traffic for a couple hours, you often, and it's very common, to go in with one attitude and one set of plans and leave with a different attitude and different set of plans because you've been sitting in traffic for a couple hours. That's a good illustration of our heart. One action takes place. It comes in to our heart. It is then filtered through our heart, through our emotions, through our past, through our experiences, and it often leaves with a different reaction. And so we think about our heart damage. This is why we think about people who have a tender heart versus sometimes older people, older in the sense that they're not in their teens anymore, who have a hard heart or a bitter heart. And so we think about our heart. This is why it's so important. And I tell you, this is when we're going to talk about guilt and greed and forgiveness and jealousy. These are things that we have to work on cleansing our heart. Cleansing our heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, our heart is an emotion. This is why sometimes we're mad and we don't know why. You're discontent or upset. This is why sometimes your wife is mad at you, what you think is a small reason, because of some previous behavior you've done that connects in with that. This is why many times our relationships struggle. And this is why we talk about it in common terms. We talk about there's been a lot of water under the bridge. In other words, we don't react to that person the same way. We don't react to person A the way we would to person B, because we've got a history with person A. And when that history that they've done goes through our heart, it brings up all kinds of emotions. It brings up things like anger, maybe jealousy, maybe frustration, maybe worry, maybe bitterness. And then we react to person A much different than we would person B, who we've just met. This is why we often treat strangers better than the people in our house. This is why we sometimes will speak and talk to other people that are not Christians better than we do Christians who are in the church, because we've been living with those Christians for 20 years. This is why sometimes while we give people in the world the benefit of the doubt, but yet when we come into the church, we're critical of elders when they make one wrong decision. Because we've got a history. We filter it through our heart, and our heart often puts it back out with some emotion. So we have heart damage. You've heard sayings in a common term, like someone says, "I'll never trust anyone again." Why will they not trust anyone? "I'll never love again. I'll never have faith in God again. I just don't think I can really ever trust in God again." Usually they say it like this: "I just don't believe in a God of love anymore. I don't need anybody. I'm going to do it myself. I can do it. I don't need anybody else. I'm going to quit depending on people." Or we say, "He wounded me." Or, "He's hard-hearted." Or, "She's angry. She's jealous. She's cold." I'm listening to an interesting book called Chosen by a Horse. And it's a book that has to do with a lady who rescued a horse and in the process is rescuing herself. And she tells about her own story. And she, for example, one story that illustrates her closed heart. She was asked by a friend, she's in her middle 40s, why she doesn't attract men. And her friend looked at her and said, "Because of what they see when they look at you." Of course, she was taken back by that. She said, "Well, you mean just because I wear sweatpants all the time?" Of course, she was kind of joking about that. And she says, "No, I'm not talking about your physical appearance. I'm talking about the huge brick wall, the electric fence barrier, the barbed wire, and the armed guard you keep everybody else away from you with." You know, some people are like that, right? They keep up a huge barrier around them so they won't let anybody in. And she did that as she's exploring this in her life. She did this because her mom died at an early age. Her dad left and had problems. And she was given to a grandmother and was passed around quite a bit. Was given to a grandmother who did take care of her, but was very physically and emotionally abusive. We had an alcoholic step-granddad who was also had a lot of problems. They were passed around and had a lot of problems. She was talking to her brother, and he was talking about some of his problems and talking about their growing up years. And he had a problem talking about what they experienced in their home. And he said growing up, he had a problem with bedwetting as an adolescent, 11-year-old child. And he would get beatings for this. And so he would sleep in a chair to try to prevent himself from wetting the bed. Then all he would do would wet the chair. One time he carried a bunch of soaked sheets out into the woods in a suitcase and buried them. And one of the friends or servants in the house, workers in the house, saw him do that, went and recovered the suitcase and told that to his guardian at the time, grandmother, I believe. And then he was locked in a room upstairs with nothing but a mattress and brought his food and let out only a couple times a day to use the bathroom for a week. When you have experiences like that with people, it damages our heart. And a damaged heart, here's what we got to realize. A damaged heart always affects us as individuals. It affects our individual's ability to initiate and maintain intimate relationships. Not only in marriages, not only with children. This is why the cycle of child abuse often continues. This is why the cycle of drug addiction often continues. The cycle of homosexuality or problems with sexual issues, adultery, pornography, the pattern of pornography, even when people want to quit. This is why people struggle to control their anger, and then they will still lash out because of heart damage. And they're constantly picking up the pears, trying to pick up the pieces and saying, "I'm sorry." But it's only in the gospel that we can cleanse our heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Remember David when he had a broken heart? A broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not refuse. Sacrifices and offerings you do not desire, but a broken and contrite heart. You see, we have to get to the point where we realize that the source of our behavior, and maybe even the lack of love in our heart. We may be going through the motions. We might be a hypocrite. And we know it. In our heart of hearts, we do not feel like we're following God. We're here. We're doing what a good Christian should, but our heart is not right. It's because of our heart. It's because of some of these enemies of the heart that we're going to talk about. And so John and Stacy Eldridge, in their books, Wild Heart and Captivating, talk a lot about this and how we have wounded hearts. And how when our hearts are wounded, they affect our choices and our relationships and our behaviors. And so the old adage is, hurt people who then hurt other people. So how's your heart? How's your heart? You see, we're going to study, and we're going to study some more. And we're going to look at some enemies of the heart. And the enemies of the heart that we're primarily going to look at are guilt. And how guilt is an enemy of the heart. That when we have guilt in our heart and we run things through our heart, it comes out differently because of guilt. And we act differently because of guilt. Things like low self-esteem and all those issues. We're going to talk about guilt. We're going to talk about anger. And how anger and us using the excuse, "Well, that's just the way I am. That's just who I am." How anger is a heart issue. How greed and always placing our trust and wanting more and more is a heart issue. And how jealousy is a heart issue. And we may do a few others. We're going to talk about forgiveness. I think forgiveness is huge as a heart issue. I think it's one of the most challenging ones to be willing to forgive. And all these things affect our relationships. Because we've got to be humble and we've got to be willing to work and focus on our own heart. And so what we want to do is think about our heart and how is our own heart. You know, I'm told that, I don't know, that y'all, I'm sure y'all would not think this because I look so young and y'all are used to the way I looked when I came in. But I'm getting close to 40. In fact, this year I'm going to turn 40. And I'm told that, you know, when you turn 40, you got to start looking after these things, especially when you have heart disease in your family. You got to start having more checkups on your heart and on your other bodily things as you get to 40. You know, I hope that I will have a heart that will live and last and that I can keep a checkup on my heart. But more importantly, I hope that I'll keep a checkup on my heart. Because out of my heart proceeds everything. And Jesus said that it's about our heart. And I hope that you'll study and you'll think about your heart as we look at these issues that are so central and so common to us as men. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, come as together we stand.
and sing.
Have thine affections been